Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. You are going to love my conversation as much as I did today. I guarantee it. I have Dr. Chinwe Williams on. She is a licensed therapist. She has her own practice. She specializes in a lot of things. But one of the things that we're going to talk about today is anxiety and teens and adolescents and this pressure that our kids are feeling, not just from the pandemic, that's a huge part of it, but also from just the last years of what we're seeing in different stats and how our kids are feeling this anxiousness that they've never felt before. And even us as parents, how we've been feeling that, especially these last couple years. Dr. Chinwe has written a book. It is amazing. It's called Seen, and it's Healing Despair and Anxiety in Kids and Teens Through the Power of Connection. And their tagline is, there is always hope. And what I feel in this interview as I'm talking to her is that there is hope. You know, she has this very incredible way of just have the soothing and calming voice to let us know there is hope, there is help, and we can get the tools and the help we need to get our kids and our families through these really trying times. So enjoy my conversation, my very hopeful conversation with Dr. Chinwe. Hi, Dr. Chinwe. I'm so excited to have you on here. You know, we laugh that I always have these guests on because, of course, I want them to tell our listeners about a certain subject. And many times it's how to love our families and love others. But I always joke that it's because I personally, as a mom, want to know these things for myself. And I just get to get all that knowledge from all of our guests, and then I get to share it as well. So thank you for being on this. Obviously, I've told our listeners, you are a therapist, you have your own practice, you work with teens and adolescents and families all the time. And so I'm so excited to have you on here about this topic of just anxiety and despair that we're seeing in our kids right now. So thanks for being on for this super important conversation.
Oh, thank you so much, Christy, for having me. I love talking about anything that's going to help parents feel more equipped to do the hard work of parenting. So thank you for having the podcast.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about you and your family dynamic, how many kiddos you have, because I think obviously you're a therapist, this is what you do, but you also live it too because you're a mom just like us. So tell us a little bit about your family, about you.
Absolutely. So my primary ministry is my role as a mom and a wife. My husband and I have been together for 13 years and we've got three kiddos. One just, you know, got out of that kiddo phase. She's 18 years old. Her name is Jalen and she's in her first year of college.
So exciting. Where'd she go?
She goes to Kennesaw, which is an awesome, awesome university in the suburbs of Atlanta, and it's actually known for their nursing program, but she's into computer animation. So
that's amazing.
That is her thing, and she's amazing. And then my oldest boy is Brayden, and Brayden is 10 years old, and I always want to give a shout out to all the special needs mamas and daddies out there. So Brayden is on the autism spectrum, and boy, God has done a thing. So we are in an amazing part of our journey. It hasn't always been easy. So I always like to kind of put that out there. But he's doing fantastic. And then our youngest is Noah, and he's 6 years old, and he is in the first grade, and he's just a dynamo. So we just are blessed all around.
I love it. So you've kind of been in that teen phase and now coming into, I have a 10-year-old too, a little girl, but we're kind of getting into that. She's already like in the preteen stage, even though she's 10. I love it. So One of the things that on my heart and on a lot of our parents' hearts right now is obviously, so right now we are feeling it pretty heavy where we live right now in Waco is this surge of what we felt for 2 years of COVID has kind of resurged and some of the anxiety that comes with that. And so I wanted to have you on, obviously, to help us kind of talk to our kids when they're feeling this anxiety. But I know, you know, working with teens for years is that the anxiety that they feel is from a variety of things. And it only gets, you know, the stats show us, and you'll know more about that than I, but the stats show us how it's kind of risen. And so I'd love to hear just your thoughts of why. Why is that? What's been going on with our teens and kids? And why is that? Why are the stats showing that anxiety is rising? What are some of the things that are doing that to our kiddos?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And that's probably the question that most people want the answers to, especially parents and teachers, because we're on the front lines. So that question happens to be a complicated one, Christy, because there are a number of factors that have really influenced the rise in both anxiety and depression in our kids. Of course, COVID is a big deal, but I always want to point out that as a mental health therapist, we've been sort of seeing this surge in the rise of just despair and distress in kids and teens well prior to COVID. In fact, I remember 10 years ago hearing that anxiety was an epidemic in our nation among our children and our teenagers. And so the question is a big one, like what's causing the rise? And so although it's complicated, there are probably three main factors that I've been seeing and I've been hearing about talking to families and also talking to educators and ministry leaders. Our kids are stressed because they have an inordinate amount of pressure that's placed on them at a really young age. But if we focus in on teenagers, this is the time when they are really trying to figure out the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And even when we tell them, no, just be a student, just focus on what you have in front of you. They're not because they're also getting the message that your future is everything and you have to start now. And our kids, our teenagers, especially our girls, are taking that seriously. So they're impacted by more and more pressure around academics, around those AP classes, around the honors classes, even the classes that are on level, so to speak, I've got air quotes, are becoming much more challenging on top of extracurricular activities, on top of volunteer activities. I remember being a school counselor and I had lots of teens that went on mission trips or did camps for entire summers. And then when they would come back in the fall, they had all of this work that they felt really like they were drowning in. And expectations. So the pressure to be successful, to be academically successful, to then be socially successful.
Where are they getting that pressure? Like, where does that pressure, where is that coming from? Is it coming from us as parents?
You know what? What's interesting is that, you know, the old answer used to be yes. Yeah. The new answer, because parents are seeing their kids struggle, is not always the case. It's not always coming from parents. In fact, I'm seeing it come from teens themselves and them looking at their peers. And you know what teens do? They fall into that social comparison trap, right? So they're measuring their successes against what they perceive another friend is doing. And so these aren't even frenemies. Some of these are like really good friends, strong, solid, influential friend groups, but everybody wants to rise up and they're measuring their successes against one another. In some cases, it's the academic program that's become much more stringent. And they're also doing a lot of different things. And so there's not that downtime to just be a kid and imagine and just to, you know, relax. They don't even know what that means anymore. So it's not always coming from parents. Oftentimes it's self-inflicted.
And I would say to that, when I was in youth ministry, just, you know, we were, I probably right on the cusp of when social media started to get huge, you know, we saw it more, like it was so easy to have that comparison game when you saw your friends, you know, the friend get invited to the party. You wouldn't have maybe known that if you hadn't seen it on Instagram or TikTok, you know? So would you say that that also is a piece of that?
I think it's a huge piece of that. You're right. Like you see that the friend got invited, but you didn't. So that is a part of it, because let's face it, teenagers have always had that pressure to kind of do what their friends are doing. And they always have that, I'm losing my words, but that experience of, you know, everyone is looking at me.
Yeah.
And am I measuring up? And do I, by the way, do I look like everyone else? Mm-hmm. And so that's a part of adolescent development. But then when you open up social media, it really does just open up the door for anxiety. And that's actually what my parents are saying. I actually talked to a parent today that said that, yes, school is tough. Yes, extracurriculars, you know, add a level of stress. But when social media comes into play, it opens up the door for way more anxiety than my child would ordinarily have. Yeah. And kids are looking at the likes. And so if you and I post something, like I use social media for mental health awareness. So I don't want to knock social media. There's so many good aspects to it. But Christy, if you and I were to post something and it got 20 likes versus 200 likes, we're like, I got to sweep a floor. I got to cook dinner.
Right.
I've got to go pick a kid up.
Yeah. Even us, I mean, I'm 42 and I still like for a business, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just wrote the best blog post. This will inspire so many people. And then it like gets one like, I'm like, how did this not change the world? So even as 42, you know, like we know better. And we have these kids who are doing – so I want to just hone in on this one just for a minute before you get to the other kind of pressures. What's your advice for parents? Like, do we wait until as long as we can until our kids get social media? Or if they already have social media, what are some of the boundaries that we can put in place to kind of help – you know, they're going to have it at some point. They're going to see it. But what is that healthy – what are some of those healthy conversations that we can have to say, hey, the life that you see here, it's not everything. And your worth is in you. Like, how do you have those conversations when we know social media is happening? And as parents, like for us, what do we do? Yeah. Do we just like ban all phones? Do we ban all the, like, I just want to throw them all away, quite honestly.
I know. And so like that's, and that is not possible, right? Because we're all connected. And again, there are benefits to social media. But what we're seeing is that with girls in particular, teenage girls, there are a lot of disadvantages. So two things, and you actually mentioned them, I would say as much as you possibly can, if you're raising kids, push away the time when you give them their first phone.
Do you have, they have a suggestion? You know, I'm going to ask
you
that.
you know what? I don't know what the recommendation is, because I don't even think there is one from the Pediatric Association, because it really depends on the maturity level of your child. Sure. And that's where we always say you want to be a student of your child. Mm-hmm. But I would say 10 is probably a time where you can give the phone and have conversations. And I say 10 and people might be thinking, oh my gosh, that's so early. Not so early anymore, but when they're starting to do activities that are apart from you, they have practices and they need to be able to reach you, they're probably going to have phones because they need to contact you and have you pick them up.
Sure.
And so those phones are smart now, and those phones are going to have all of the different apps on there. So it's really more so about having the conversation. Now, I do not agree with a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, or even an 8-year-old having an Instagram or a Facebook page that just is way too young. And they're finding ways to, you know, to do that. And so I think it's about having the conversation about boundaries. So everything in life is about balance, Christy. And so staying connected is important. And if your friends are on social media, you're going to want to be on social media. But guess what? It's so much more productive. It's so much more life-giving to be able to spend time with your friends in person. Yeah. And so having those conversations about, okay, yeah, you want to connect with them online, but let's also connect with them in person. That's when you're going to get the greatest benefit. Because let me share with you what's so interesting. This year off, and for some people, it wasn't a full year, depending on where you are in the nation. And for some people, it was, you know, maybe longer, but the year away from school has absolutely taken a toll. And parents, every parent that you've talked to can talk about what that has looked like for them and their family. But what mental health therapists are seeing and what educators are seeing is that when kids return back to school this past fall, now some of them are out again, they almost lost a developmental year. Yes. Not almost, they did, but then in some cases, teachers are telling me that kids seem like they're acting younger than they are. And then what the kids are telling us, and I say us, my co-author, Will Hutcherson, he talks to adolescents across the country. The kids are telling us that they don't know how to talk to people anymore, and especially face to face. So just imagine that, like you were saying, you and I are going to have the same reaction to a social media post that doesn't gain traction versus a 15-year-old girl. Or younger, they just don't have the developmental capacity to put those things into perspective. And then when they're not engaging with each other face to face, it becomes so much harder, and they're having to like catch up under really extraordinary circumstances.
Yeah, I think, and I think what you said about face to face, like, you know, one of the things that I always had our kids do and still is if Holden wants to have a play date with someone, I make him call the mom. And like actually have a conversation. And there are times where he's like, I'd rather just not play with the friend than have to call an adult. Because he's like, can't you just text her, mom? Can't you just do it, you know? And teaching him to have those, not only conversations with teachers and those things, but with peers. And I think it makes us intentional as parents. So if I say, like, I have a 13-year-old and he has an emergency phone, but it's not something he can take all the time or be on all the apps and those things quite yet. But if I want to be intentional and he's like, well, mom, all my friends have phones and, or, and not all of his friends do here, but it in other places they would. I have to be intentional. It makes me intentional as a parent to say, okay, I know you want to hang out with those people. Let's invite them over. Let's go someplace together. Now that is harder for me. It's much easier for me just to throw the phone and say, get on a group text and chit chat. It makes it way harder for me, but I think that's a maybe a good, I don't know what you think about that, but if I'm really saying I want him to develop those friendships, and I don't want to, and no parent wants their kids to be left out, none of them, here are some ways that maybe we can do things together in friendships. Talk to me about the second and third thing of how you're seeing anxiety and why kids are having anxiety these days.
Yeah. So academic pressures is number one, just pressure to be successful all around. And then social media is another one. And then here's the third one. And I hesitate to, you guys can't see my face, because as a parent, it's like we always carry guilt, right? But the third thing that I think is really important to mention, especially right now, and there's a good piece to it, is that oftentimes anxious kids or kids who are highly, highly anxious also have at least one parent that's also anxious. And I think it's just worth mentioning because our kids are such good observers, right? They're not the best listeners, but they really are paying attention. And of course, is there a genetic component to anxiety and depression? Absolutely. But a lot of times it's learned behavior. And so if you think about what we've experienced in the last 2 years, especially when we thought we'd be past this by now, right? So psychologically speaking, there's something that happens when you expect to be over something or past something or something to be behind you and you're still in it. And so we have lost, now we're talking about adults, we have lost certainty. We have lost some of us employment. And if we're honest, a lot of us have lost a little bit of hope. Let's just be honest. But it's been really, really hard. And so those things are inside of us. And the way that we're reacting to the losses that we've experienced, including the loss of life, there's so many, Christy, 170,000 kids have lost at least one parent during this pandemic. So we think about what's happening with the kids.
Yeah. Or their if they didn't lose it, a friend, their friend lost.
Yes, what's happening to the parents and the teachers. And so I think it's important to mention that even when we tell our kids, you know what, school isn't everything, or you should not measure your self-worth mm-hmm. based on how many likes mm-hmm. you have, or that A that you got on your chemistry test or didn't get.
Yeah.
Even when we say it, but we don't necessarily believe it or feel it, or our actions are demonstrating something that's opposite, or anxiety is making us come across as like, you know, I mean, our kids are not going to believe it if we are acting in a way that we don't even believe it. Right. And so anxiety does that.
Right.
So I would say just, you know, pay attention to not just what's happening for your kids or in your kids' life, but what's happening inside of you as a parent, because our kids are picking up on our own anxiety. And so that's where self-care comes in. That's where pushing pause comes in. That's where taking breaks, putting down the guilt.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about that with parents around the holiday season. Everything doesn't have to be magical.
Sure, right.
Everything doesn't have to be perfect because we have experienced a lot.
Yeah.
And by the way, the effects of the pandemic didn't happen in 2020. The numbers of emergency room visits happened in the first quarter of 2021. So when you're going through it, you don't even realize what you're experiencing. It's usually after the fact. Yeah. But so we've got to take care of ourselves as parents, because our kids are picking up on that.
So talk to me a little more about that, because for a parent who is suffering from anxiety. So I'm going to be real vulnerable. Never, ever have I had anxiety, depression. I have friends who that's something they struggle with. We've gone, you know, we've been in that with them, but me personally have never until 2 years ago. We had a big move. We had 3 deaths in a row the year before. And then COVID. We moved in the middle of COVID. And I couldn't breathe. I thought I was having a heart attack every day. I went to counseling for the first time. Then we've had some other major blow-ups in our life.
Yeah.
And I, for the first time, I called my husband. I'm like, I'm 100% having a heart attack right now. And and he had experienced some of this a couple years ago, so he knew. And he's like, you're not. You're having an anxiety attack. And I'm like, I'm not. I don't have anxiety. I don't know what that is. And he's like, no, that's what you're having. And so for the past, you know, year and a half. So for me, that meant going to counseling. That meant me being very open about that, even with my kids. Not so much about the anxiety, but just, you know, mom's going to counseling.
Yes.
And so I think for parents who are like, okay, but I am anxious. Okay, mm-hmm. but this has given me anxiety. How would you say for them to, you know, when they're in the household and they're feeling like that, of course, they react a certain way, and that does, you know, your kids start to hear that. It's so many times I've heard, you know, when the whole election happened and all the things, it was like you could just hear, you knew what parents thought because you heard it in a fourth grader's mouth, and you're like, that fourth grader doesn't know what that is, you know, unless he heard it.
Right.
And so how we are reacting to others and how the rage and the anxiety and those kind of things. Okay. So help. I always say it goes back to the parents. So help us as parents when we're deeply feeling this anxiety because of COVID or whatever, how can we be vulnerable about that with our kids, where it's not like we're putting on this fake face, but at the same time, we're not, you know, spreading that to them. Do you have some, and I would also say for those who are listening to this and are like, oh crap, for the past year, I've given this to my kid. You know, I want to speak some encouragement to them to say it's never too late to start some new habits. So can you run us through that a bit?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being vulnerable.
Yeah.
I think that's so important. As parents, we're leaders. We're leaders. And so, and I work with parents, and I also every now and again will do lunch and learns with businesses and corporate leaders. And I got to tell you, when like the CEO gets on, gets on Zoom on camera and says, this year has been tough for me and I've struggled, and please listen to this therapist because I've had to have, you know, my own moments where I've had to like reflect on some things differently or do some more self-care. it has made a world of difference. We get notes afterwards that people are like running to the EAP, which is the Employment Assistant Program.
That's awesome.
Because the leader is showing a level of vulnerability. And so this is such an important platform that you have, and people are paying attention. So as a mental health therapist, I'm a mental health advocate. So I love everything that you just said. And so as parents, we're leaders and we're agents of change, but we're not called to be perfect. There is no such thing as perfection. And so it's not that you've passed anything down to your child. This is what I want you to hear. If any of your listeners are experiencing this, something happened. Like, we have been in survival mode and it's been really hard. And I have gotten so many calls from parents, just like yourself, Christy, who have never experienced anxiety in their life. So that tells you that we have experienced extraordinary circumstances. Mm-hmm. So it's not your fault. And this really lends itself an awesome opportunity to teach your kids coping skills, which, by the way, that's the fourth thing that we are noticing in terms of the rise of anxiety and depression in kids and teens prior to to COVID, is that our kids didn't have access to healthy coping skills, right? There was a lot of rescuing that's been happening, myself included. I've saved my kids from some hard things, but the research shows us that kids actually need to experience hard things so they can know that they can be resilient.
Yes, yes.
So how amazing is it as a mom or a dad to be able to say to your kid, yeah, this affected me too, and not only COVID, but all of these other life circumstances. And what is trauma, by the way? So trauma is my specialty area. Trauma is when an event happens that exceeds your ability to cope. Mm. So God has given us innate capacity to cope with a lot of things, but sometimes life hits you so hard and in so many different ways that you're going to stumble a little bit, right? But you're human and there are ways that you can cope. And I think that we teach our kids that by saying, you know what, I snapped at you. Mom was feeling a little bit irritable. So you don't have to go into all of the moments of despair or everything that has brought it on. But it is actually okay to talk about what you experience in the moment. And then here's the word repair. You want to repair the rupture in any kind of relationship. And yes, as a 40-something-year-old to a 6-year-old, I do a lot of repairing. I'm like, babe, I'm sorry. Mom was a little frustrated. Can I have a hug? Or what can I do to make you feel better? I really didn't mean to be snappy with you. So those things are important. And then the biggest thing is to let them know what you're doing to take care of yourself. Mm. Because again, they're great observers. They're paying attention. Yeah. So practice the pause. If there's something that is bothering you and your child needs correction. So let's say you're dealing with high stress, anxiety with a move, a work situation, a ministry situation, and your child comes back with a bad report or they were disrespectful to you or their sibling. Notice that you don't have to react in the moment.
Oh, that's good.
We used to hear from parenting experts all the time, kids aren't going to remember, so you need to correct them in the moment. Not in 2020 through 2022. No, ma'am. Dr. Chinwe says, practice pause, walk away.
Yeah.
And tell yourself that you're going to revisit it. You can even tell your child, especially if they're a teenager, we're going to talk about this later.
That's good.
But what you're teaching them is a coping skill of like walking away, taking a deep breath, but always coming back because communication is key.
I love it. Before we leave, I want to kind of just, if you can kind of run through these, I know they're you'll be quick, but if you want to know more about all these things, Dr. Chinwe and her co-author wrote a book called Seen, and it's all about healing despair and anxiety in kids. And I, if I had you on here for an hour, we would talk about all, you know, despair. But the thing that I love that you say is healing through the power of connection. And so her book talks about all of that. And also you can find her on social media. Tell me where to find you, where they can find you on social
media. I'm mostly on Instagram and it's Dr. Dr. Period Chinwe Williams. So that's probably the best way. I'm also on LinkedIn, but that's
I will put all these in the show notes. But I think the main thing would be get her book because it's going to kind of go through all the things that we talked about. But before we leave, I want to just if you could just run us through quickly some of the signs, like if you're a parent and you're sitting here and you're going, I'm feeling like my kid is acting a little different. Maybe we've been so busy. Are there some signs that we need to look for and go, ooh, our kid might need some help? And then what would be maybe the first step to helping them?
Absolutely. So three general categories of signs to look out for as a parent. If there are changes in their thoughts, now you wouldn't necessarily know what's in their thoughts, but they would have to speak on it. So sure. If they share that they're thinking about a lot of different things at once, and then the nature of the thought. So the first thing is like racing thoughts. And as adults, we've experienced that before. Sure. But then the nature of the thoughts is, are there a lot of thoughts about the future? Like the what ifs? What if this happens? What if it doesn't happen? How am I going to be able to handle it if it does? Okay. So those are something to think about. And then in addition, if there's some guilt about something that's happened in the past, that's also something that we want to pay attention to. But we'll only know that if they share with us that this is what they're thinking. And then the other thing has to do, I point to my heart, their emotions. If your child is demonstrating sadness that's different from who they normally are, so if there's some sort of change in their behavior or their mood, that of course as a teenager we see that all the time, but if it's more than just adolescent angst or adolescent turmoil, this is something different about your child, you want to pay attention to that. And then the telltale sign is changes in behavior. Now we're talking mostly about adolescents, so let me focus on adolescents. If they're not wanting to hang out with you, probably not a big deal in that period of time. But if they're not wanting to hang out with their peers, that's a big deal.
Like isolation.
Withdrawal, detachment. If they loved going to the lacrosse games, if they love going to hang out with, you know, Billy across the street, and Billy comes over and your child doesn't leave the room, that's a warning sign. For little kids, it's extreme irritability, anger outbursts, meltdowns. Again, if it's a toddler, that's normal, but something that's beyond what you would normally see from that developmental stage, or just who you know your child to be in terms of their personality. And then therapeutically, if you were to come to me, I would assess how long has this been happening, how often is it happening, and how is it impacting their ability to function, and how is it impacting the family? Yeah. So some of the things that you want to consider. And first step, call the pediatrician. Mm. They are well-trained in mental health screening. In fact, they're doing a lot more than ever these days. So they'll be able to lead you and guide you, let you know what's developmentally appropriate, what's not, and also lead you to a counselor if that's what you or your child needs.
I love that. I think the thing that I hear you say that is when you do see something, you're asking for help. And I think especially in the faith community, sometimes we feel bad if we are vulnerable to say, oh, I have anxiety, I have depression. We feel this guilt. I, you know, come from a pastor's family and, you know, it's, well, I'm afraid someone will say, well, your faith's not strong enough, or you didn't pray enough. Yes. And the same thing with parents. You know, when our kids are going through something, we obviously harbor that, oh, were we not a good enough parent? Did we do something wrong? And so we don't share it a lot of times with other people because we're nervous of how that reflects on us. And we don't ask for help, because if we ask for help, then people will know that we're not A-plus parents. And so I want to tell people right now, just on my heart, is that that does not define you as a parent. It does not define if you're a good parent or not. If you ask for help, we all need help. The fact that we think that we can do this by ourselves is so ridiculous.
And not what God has intended, by the way.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that. And God can handle our emotions. I mean, hello, David in Psalms. If you just read the Psalms, he was all over the place with emotions and anger,
despair
and rage and, woe is me, and I'll never make it through this. So I just want to say to people who are feeling maybe this, like, it's okay. You're not alone.
Yes.
And ask for help. Ask for help. So
ask for help. And remember that God is the ultimate healer. I'm a therapist. I believe in therapy. But God created physicians to help us if we have a cancer diagnosis. God created mental health therapists to help us if we're struggling with emotions or our thought life. God is the ultimate Jesus is the ultimate redeemer. And so, as you mentioned so beautifully, Christy, like we see it in the psalmist, right? Crying out for help, crying out for help in the middle of their despair. Mm-hmm. So that word despair, we use it intentionally in our book because it's stated in the Word of God. Yeah. And because He is our Redeemer, He will never waste a hurt or an experience. So moms and dads that are out there listening, just know that it does not matter how many times you feel like you've messed up. I'm doing air quotes right now. I'm a therapist. I know all the books. I know the science. I know the research. I know what to do. And I'm also human. So I mess up. And so to every parent that's listening or ministry leader that's listening, please know that no matter how many times you feel like you have failed, you have not failed. Your children and your teenagers need you more than ever. And you are exactly what they need for this time. So please remember that each intentional decision you make matters.
I love it. We'll end with that because that's perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on and thank you for your encouragement. I could talk to you all day, but I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for your patience.
Yeah. Thank you. I guarantee you loved this conversation as much as I did, and I want to give you a Be Love quick tip for the week, and that is just ask for help. Wherever you are in your journey and you are needing help, ask somebody. Go to therapy, find a great therapist, talk to a pastor, talk to your community and your friends and say, I am really struggling with this and I need help, because more often than not, your friends are going through the same thing and they just need someone to say it first so they can also say, hey, me too. So ask for help. It could be one of the most courageous things that you could do this week for your family. I also encourage you to get the book Seen. That is the book that she wrote. It's called Healing Despair and Anxiety in Kids and Teens Through the Power of Connection. It's called Seen. It's by Dr. Chinwe Williams and Will Hutcherson, and it is on Amazon. So I encourage you to get that. Again, thanks so much for being with us today, and thank you for being love and doing good in your communities. We'll see you next week. Rescue me, 'cause all